You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to 1 John 5. We've got just, you know, I've shared this before. It's just it's a great chapter. I'm just going to go through probably the first five verses here, but take it slow, take it apart, chew on it. You know, sometimes you read through and you do your daily reading. Sometimes you chew and you study and you take it apart and you look at it. If you really want revelation, if you really want the Bible to come alive, then you have to stop and slow down from time to time and pause when you run across something that kind of bumps in your spirit or run across something that interesting and start really taking it apart and looking at it. You know, you examine words, you chew on words. Sometimes we eat our food too fast and we don't get the full benefit. So, you know, studying and meditating on scriptures, we really get revelation. Revelation comes from meditation. It comes from repetition. It comes from going over and over and over. Now, I like to get into a verse sometimes and go into the Greek and look at the New Testament and the Hebrew and the Old Testament. And sometimes take those words apart or emphasize one word over another as I'm reading the verse. You know, we've been teaching on confession in the Sunday morning worship service. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, you know, you can just read across that, or you can stop and chew on that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. There is a power in the tongue. There is a power that's released when you speak, when you say things. And it's the power of death and life. You can choose which one. And you eat the fruit of whatever it is you're producing. See, that's taking that verse apart, chewing on it, and talking about it. So, with that in mind, 1 John 5, first verse. Now, I'm reading out of New King James. I will probably quote out of King James because that's just what's in me. So, sometimes there's a little contradiction here, and sometimes I get tongue-tangled when I'm reading it because I'm reading New King James, and my mind is working on King James because that's for years that's what I read and it's what I memorized. But it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You know, you hear about being born again, the new birth, being born from above. Are you born again? You know, that question is often asked. And of course, in John, the third chapter, not 1 John, but the Gospel John, third chapter, Jesus said that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And then he said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so the born again experience and the born again terminology comes from Jesus. Often, we'll think that First Baptist actually came up with that. But no, actually, that's just Bible terms. Thank God for Baptists and First Baptists and all the Baptists. But born again is what we are as Christians. Everybody say, I am born again. And from this verse, you can find out why you're born again. You are born again because you believe that Jesus is the Christ. You believe Jesus is the Messiah. That word Christ is just the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah. And it just means the anointed one, the one that God chose and anointed to be our high priest, to be our lamb, to be our sacrifice. Well, I happen to believe that when it comes to Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius and, you know, and all these leaders, I happen to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Are you with me? And therefore, I am born again. And that is for whoever believes that. It didn't say if you were born in a certain country, if you were born in a certain time, or if you were just chosen beforehand by God to be saved. Oh, come on now. God wants everybody to be saved. He wants every one of us to be saved. But what determines that is what we believe. What determines us being a whoever or whosoever is our faith. So this business of, you know, God arbitrarily picking this person, not picking that person, or God being random, you know, he just gets up one day and feels good and decides he'll save a few and then he'll let some others go to hell. That is very unscriptural and is foreign to the Scripture whatsoever. But what the Bible does teach is that you have a say-so. You and I have a part to play here. And our faith is paramount when it comes to being saved. And I'd submit to you, it's paramount when it comes to us going over in life too. You can't leave all of it up to God when God left it up to us. You know, I taught a series on the name of Jesus that when I use the name of Jesus, I'm not asking God permission for something. I'm exercising the authority He gave me. We kind of get the idea that when I pray in Jesus' name, I'm asking God for permission. God's already given us the permission and given us the authority. And when I use the name, I'm exercising the authority. I'm not asking permission. He's already told me to do it. Hallelujah. So we got to get this, you know, shoe on the other foot. We're often waiting on God, and God's waiting on us. You know, we often wish God would do something, and God's wishing we'd believe Him. He's wanting to move, but it requires us to believe. It requires us to interact, to call. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Same word. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. In Romans 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, whosoever believes in Him, should not perish but have everlasting life. There's that common thread there. Whoever believes, whoever calls, whoever believes, whoever. I'm a whoever. I'm one who called. You know, over 30 years ago, I called on the Lord. I called on Jesus to save me. And because I believed on Jesus as my Savior, he's the Christ, the Anointed One. The Christ is just a Greek word. It's just Christos. It just means the Anointed One. It doesn't mean the Anointed One and His anointing. It means the Anointed One, period. There's another Greek word for the anointing. It has another Greek ending. And it is the equivalent, as I said, of the Old Testament, Meshach or Messiah, which means the Anointed One. Jesus is the Hebrew Messiah, the Greek Christ. He is the Anointed One of God. Hallelujah. And I believe He's the one. I don't believe He's a one. I don't believe He's a Christ. I believe He's the Christ. Amen. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is not a way or a truth or a life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's not several Christs out here or several ways or several truths. There are several lives. There's just one. I've chosen this one. You've chosen this one. And because you believed on Him, you are born of God. You're not born of God because you're good. You're not born of God because you're in church tonight. You're not born of God because you've done the right things in life. Hopefully you are doing right things. And hopefully your life has gotten better since you accepted Jesus. But we're born of God because we believe that Jesus is the Christ. That He's the way. Amen? Whoever. I love that. Whoever. You know, I'm thinking of Mark 11:23 says, you know, whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast, and see, shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. I like that. Whoever. Whoever. Not just the disciples, but whoever says to the mountain, says to the problem, speaks to the obstacle. Be removed, be thou cast and see. Whoever says, no, in Jesus' name, get out of here, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You know, I don't care if you're a jeweler in a jewelry shop or a Christian in a Christian shop and someone comes in with a gun, if you say in Jesus' name, hello. Just if you're listening to this CD, that just happened. We just heard of a news article of a woman who actually did that and the man took his gun and left. Hallelujah. But what we see here is our faith determines whether we're born again or not. Now, you didn't choose to be born into this earth, but you do choose to be born again. You didn't choose to be born naturally, but you do choose to be born spiritually. There's a difference between spiritual birth and natural birth, and the difference is your free will. That's the difference. You choose whether you go to heaven or not. You didn't choose whether you're born in the earth or not. That just came without your choice, but this, you can get out of this. You say, well, I didn't have a choice. It's not fair. No, it is fair. He gave you a choice now. You can change it. We can no longer say it's not fair anymore. It's not fair I was born this way or this into this or into that. You can pray and change it. Whatever your situation, you can change, spiritually and even physically, even financially. That's right. You can make a difference. You can start believing and change some things. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begat loves Him who is begotten of Him. This is not some closet faith. This is not some, you know, a monastery monk faith. This is not some faith where you crawl off in the desert or out in the jungles or out in the mountains and live your whole life just in being one with nature. If you love God, you love His people. Getting real quiet in here. I don't have a problem loving God's people I have a problem with. Well, the Bible says, if I love God, I love the people that are begotten of God. I should love his people, the people that are born again. We should love each other. And that's just a sign of our Christianity. That's a fruit of our faith. You know, it's not us loving people that saves us. It's us being saved that causes us to be able to love people. And if we're having trouble loving people, we need to get back to our faith. We need to start examining what we believe. Do we really believe on Jesus? If we believe Jesus, we'll act on his word. We'll obey him. We'll do his word. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So loving people is not an option. Loving God's people is a command. Woo. Didn't say we get along with each other all the time, agree with each other all the time. We sure got to love each other, and we got to forgive each other, and we got to go on. Amen? Doesn't even say that we have to fellowship with each other all the time. In fact, even Paul talks about Christians that you sever fellowship with because they don't live right and they don't do right. Don't even eat with them, it says. But he never said stop loving them. Are you with me? Hello. We always love, we always pray, and we always lift up. So it says here, whoever believes Jesus is the Christ is born of... Everybody say, I is. Okay, I'm not going to be, I is born of God. See, that's it. I'm born of God right now. I'm not in heaven yet, but I am born again. Because I do believe Jesus is the Christ. And I love him, therefore I love you. Amen. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. Keeping the commandments is a sign I love God. I often hear people say, well, I love God. Man, they're just living wild, living like the devil, just doing everything wrong. And I'm thinking, you know, that lip and that life don't line up too well. We're not judging them per se, but there is fruit. There is manifestation. There's a sign of our love. If I really do love, then there's evidence of it. I mean, if I love Brenda, I'm going to show up every once in a while. Tell her I love her. Are you with me? I mean, there are signs to this thing. And if I say I love God, then that ought to be evident in my actions and my lifestyle and the way I live. I'm not living holy so I can go to heaven. I'm living holy because I am going to heaven. I'm not living holy to be born again. I'm living holy because I am born again. Woo! And he's saying, by this we know we love the children. Now, it's not saying you can't get in sin. Now, of course, anybody can do that. But if you love God, you're convicted of it. You repent of it, and you should repent of it. And God will take you back, and we'll take you back, and we're for you and not against you. We've all sinned. Hello. Got no stones to throw. But we're saying that if we really want the world to see the love of God, then the way to do that is to keep the commandments of God. And those commandments entail us loving others and forgiving others and living holy and living right. That's a sign that we're Christians. It's evidence to that. You know, as I was listening to an interview between Bill O'Reilly and Brett Hume about a statement he had made about Tiger Woods, saying that Tiger Woods should embrace the Christian faith and receive redemption and forgiveness and then be an example to the world. In that interview, he said, you know, that Bill O'Reilly brought up that some people have, you know, said they were forgiven and had a preacher stand by side them, you know, movie stars or politicians or whatever, and they weren't sincere. And Britt says that's true, but there are those that are sincere. And if he was sincere, we would know it.
Yeah, that's right.
He said if he genuinely repented of his sin, we would know it. And he made this statement. He says, what a shining light he would be. And you know, the whole Christian world would forgive them. We'd forgive anybody. Are you kidding? We'd forgive anybody if they really had repentance and they really repented and forsook their sin. And are you with me? But we would know that. We would know they were genuine. We'd know that they meant it by their lifestyle. We would know it by their change. Isn't that what it's saying here? It says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Man, I love that. You know, so I want to keep the commandments. I want to live holy. I want to live right. My life should be different than the world. Not uppity, not self-righteous, not better than they are. It just should be different. It should be in line with God's Word. I should do things according to God's Word. I should pray for people. I should not take the self-centered route, the assertive route. Are you with me? Look out for number one route. Hello. Assert my rights. Push myself to the forefront. Oh, no. I should believe God, trust God, and know that God loves me, He's for me, and I don't have to chase down every rumor and straighten out every offense. And hello. And you say, well, that's just hard to do. Oh, I don't know. I'll tell you what, it's hard to live a life of hate. It's hard to live a life of bitterness. It's hard to live a life of always wondering what people are thinking about you and trying to straighten every little thing out that you hear. That's hard. That's miserable. That'll keep you up all night long. In fact, it's hard to serve the devil. Now, you may say, oh, no, anybody can serve the devil. Well, what I mean by that is it's a hard life. It may be easy to join the crowd that's serving the devil, but it's hard on you. It's hard on relationships. It's hard on families. It's hard on marriages. Are you with me? It's hard on your self-worth and purpose. It's hard to sleep at night. You say, well, it's just so hard to serve God. Well, let's read the next verse. Third verse. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome or grievous or hard. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you'll have to take it up with God. He's the one that said that. So, you talk to Him about it, you can argue with Him about it, but I think you're going to lose that argument. I believe it gets easier to love the more you love. It's easier to forgive the more you forgive. This is a lifestyle. It's easier to serve God the more you serve God. It's easier to make moral choices when you've been making moral choices for years and years and years. There are certain things right now I just couldn't do. I couldn't do them. I couldn't do them because for so long I've been making choices not to do them. Even when I get mad and going to blow it, I can't blow it. I get so far and I just can't do it. I can't do that. Just can't do it. I can't make myself do that. You know what I'm saying? Because, no, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I can sin. Stay with me. But there's some things I've worked on so much. There's some things I've done so long that I've just, it's not even in my character to do it. It's just not part of me. It's not who I am now. I've been changed by my habits. I first made my habits and then they made me. And that's what God's talking about here. If you make a habit of praying about everything, then as the years rock on, it's not even, you don't even think about it. You just pray about everything. If you make a habit of trusting God when something goes wrong and start looking for a promise in God's Word and start believing for the best when crisis happens, you know what will happen? The next time a crisis happens, as the years go on, you won't even think about it. It'll just be part of your vocabulary. It's your nature. It's in your character to do that. It didn't come natural. It didn't come right at first. It wasn't that easy, but you trained yourself into it. You know, when I was lost, you know, I'll bring this up. I brought it up before. When I was lost, it wasn't any problem at all for me to cuss. I cuss like a sailor. Yeah, I learned it well. Learned it from the people I'd been around, and, you know, it was cool to do that. And you'd stump your toe and you'd cuss, and you'd have a good day and you'd cuss, and you'd have a bad day and you'd cuss. When things would go wrong, you'd cuss, and, you know, when you felt good, you'd cuss, and when you felt bad, you'd cuss. You just cuss. That's what you did. And it was really kind of neat because you didn't have to think a lot of words to say. You didn't have to be real smart because you could just fill in with cuss words. Keep you from stuttering. You wouldn't have to say no pauses. You just fill in with a cuss word. And it was just natural. Just come natural. I remember I got under a house one time. I was plumbing. I was lost. And I got under this house, and I'd stuck a metal cable into this pipe, and the pipe was grounded to the dishwasher, and the electricity hadn't been turned off. And boy, when I hit that pipe, I mean, that electricity hit me, and it was shaking me like that. And in between every breath, I was cussing. It was just natural. Just part of me. I was lost. That's what I did. Trained myself. Got good at it. Are you with me? I was an expert at it. And I finally, you know, the weight of me, just I was squatted down under the house. It was kind of high, but I was like this. And it shook me so much I fell. And just falling back, my hands came off. I couldn't let go of it because it pulled me into it. And I got out. And boy, and I was just cussing up a storm that I hadn't died. You know, I wasn't thanking God because I didn't believe in God. But then when I got saved now, see, that didn't sound real good. It didn't fit. Now, I wasn't going to hell because I was cussing. Stay with me. And you don't go to hell because you're cussing. You go to hell because you don't believe in Jesus. But if you believe in Jesus, stop cussing. So I worked on it. And, you know, I didn't sound right the first few times. And instead of plowing through it and continuing to do what I'd always done, I decided, well, I'm just going to quit doing that. And I started training myself to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. When something would go wrong, when I'd stump my toe or I'd hit my head or hit my thumb with a hammer or whatever, you know. And now that's what comes out. And I don't even think about it. It's not something I have to think about. It is just, it's easy. It's not burdensome. It's not grievous to me. It's just a lifestyle that I have accepted and have trained myself to do, and so I do it. That's just what I do. Hallelujah. Are you with me? But that's what God's saying. You just develop these things, and keeping the commandments of God is not hard. Quit saying that. We often say it's so hard to serve God. Are you kidding me? God's helping you serve Him. He's helping you serve Him. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, Philippians 4:13. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, 1 John 4:4, right here in this same book here. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I can serve God. You see, I am born again, so are you. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, then you're born again. And since you're born again, you can love people. Because you love God, you can love His people. And you can keep His commandments, because that's what we do. Are you with me? Just deal with it. It's who you are. It's what you do. Well, I'm just having such a hard time serving God. Oh, no, I tell you what. You have a hard time serving God when you don't hang around God's people, because you need the encouragement of God's people. You have a hard time serving God when you don't, you know, go to church or get in the Bible or pray or seek God's face. Sure, that would be hard to do, because it's hard to serve God if all of our friends are ungodly. That would be hard. I understand that. But that just, all you got to do is change. You can change that situation. Just start hanging around some godly people. Get around some Christians. Start listening to some godly shows. Quit listening to all the ungodly shows or watching all the ungodly things on TV. You know, you have to make some adjustments. But if you're willing to do that, it's not hard to serve God. It gets to be a joy. You get to where you want to do it. I look forward to it. It's not a job. I often think of, you know, pastoring and preaching. I've got pastor friends, minister's friends who are genuinely just called and love what they're doing, and I've got some that just gripe about it every week. You know, they're just not happy. They're not happy having to get up and message together once a week. They're not happy having to preach to people and people not doing what they say. Bless God. Waste my time studying all week long, praying all week long, get up there and preach, and these people walk out and don't do a thing I say. They don't serve God and they're in sin. Well, listen, I'm responsible for two people, not four people. Are you with me? But with me, see, I don't think of it that way at all anyway. This is just, it's a calling with me. I love what I do. I love to study. I love to preach. And it's just by chance y'all come, and that's good. I'm glad y'all here, because I'm going to preach whether you're here or not.
Amen.
Hello. And it's not a job to me. I look forward to coming to church. It's a calling. I was born for this. God called me to this. And the more I do it, the more I love to do it.
Right.
Have to come up one sermon a week? Are you kidding? I do the Sunday morning class and the Sunday morning worship and the Wednesday class. I used to do Sunday night services. And listen, if I had a service every night, I'd be happy.
Amen.
I could preach every night, every day. I'd love it. If we had a Bible school, listen, I'll tell you, that would just be, oh man, I'm telling you, I would just be in hog heaven. Because I love to do that. I've got sermons I hadn't got to preach yet. I've got things I've studied in classes that I love to give. But, you know, not everybody's interested in all those things I'm interested in. So, you know, with the Bible school, you could do something like that. But I love what I do. You should love to serve God. It is exciting to serve God. It's exciting to see people get blessed. I think about the food ministry this week. We had 50 families came to the food ministry. And one grandmother came in there, you know, with her, with two grandkids with her, and she actually had been raising them for the last month and a half, and just kind of a sad story. She was just a sweet, sweet lady, and she got her food, and she was headed out the door, I think Angie got her and said, "Hey, have you got any coats for those two little grandbabies, two girls, you know?" And she said, "No." And she said, "Come on back here and look at these coats." We had some nice coats, and she, the whole time, we're fitting those girls with these coats, and I was standing there talking to the grandmother, and tears just running down her eye cheeks, just running down her, and she was so sweet. She said, "Thank you so much. Thank you." And they got a couple of real nice coats. And I thought right then, I thought, I love what I do.
Amen.
I love what I do. See, when you see people get saved, or you see people get blessed, or you see people get their lives back together, or something you said or ministered or prayed to them, it just gets them on a right road and gets them stirred up. And, hey, it's worth it. It's worth it. I don't really pay attention to people who don't get it. I pray for them, but I don't lay awake all night thinking about it. I think about the people that do get it. Hello. And I'm praying for those that don't. Don't stay with me. Don't get me wrong. But if I did that, if I went down that road, then I couldn't stay on top of it. I'd get down. Listen, you've made a difference in people's lives. Don't just go over all the times that you didn't make a difference. Don't go over all the people that you didn't get to connect with or minister to or whatever the case is. Amen? You're making a difference. You're doing good. We're serving God. This is a great way to live. It's the only way to live. Amen? This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome or grievous or hard. You can serve God. You can love. You can forgive. You can do it. You can do it. Well, I just can't forgive. Yes, you can forgive. Well, I just, no, don't you say that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? Think about what we start out with here in 1 John 5:1. Are you born of God? Do you believe Jesus is the Christ? If you do, you are born of God. You have a power in you never had before. You got a presence in you never had before. You've got God in you now. Hallelujah. And He doesn't stop there. He goes on into the fourth verse. And He says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Well, the world's just so hard. It's so overwhelming. No, no, no. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. He didn't say the world overcomes whatever is born of God. This is not Hollywood, where the devil always beats up the priest and the preacher. Come on, that's in the movies, they always do that. You know, they'll hold up the cross, and Dracula always winds up getting around and killing the priest or something. You know, and the priest he's always the wimp, doesn't have the power. Well, according to the Bible, we as Christians have power over the devil. You say, well, it's just a hard world we're living in, and I'm telling you, the devil's just running rampant in my home and my house. Well, stop him. Put your foot down, run him out in Jesus' name. Amen. You can do it. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Takes time, takes discipline. You know, you got to work on it. We're not saying this is going to happen overnight, but I tell you what, this is what the Scripture says. We either believe it or we don't. Amen. Thank you, Chris. Chris believes it. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now think about this. I realize that, and I have no problem with this, that it's talking about us who are born of God overcome the world. But I also believe that if you look at this, whatever is born of God, any dream, any vision, any promise, any prayer, any statement, any confession that is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever, not just whoever, but whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So if I stand on God's Word and make a confession of faith, that's born of God. That comes from His Word. That will overcome the world.
Amen.
Y'all see that? So He's not just talking about us in general, people being born of God. Whatever is born of God. If what you're believing is born of God, if what you're confessing is born of God, if what you're praying has its birthplace in the Word, if it started with the Word, if it's based on Scripture, it comes from God, it's born of God, and it will overcome the world. If your dream and your vision and whatever it is you're holding on to is formulated from the Word, if you have a right to it, if God says this is His will, if this is what He said He would do, then that will overcome the world. It will overcome the opposition. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world. Amen? Does that make sense?
Yes.
That help you? Because I know we and I've done the same thing, look at this just from a standpoint of personally, I as a person being born of God overcomes the world. That's true too. But whatever I say, whatever I pray, whatever I dream, whatever I envision, whatever I do that comes from the Word,
praise God,
based on the Word, birthed from the Word, will overcome the world. That's better preaching. Y'all already mean it. And I like this. And in fact, Michael and I were talking about these two words here. Overcome. The word overcome the world, that actually is the Greek word nikao. And the word victory is the base or the root word of that, nike. Now, I know that doesn't mean a whole lot to you. It just sounds like tennis shoes or something. Nike, nike, something. But it's interesting that what he means by this is that whatsoever is born of God overcomes, subdues, and conquers the world. And this is the victory, nike, the means or the strategy or the plan, let's say, of overcoming, subduing, and conquering. It's the form of the same word. So what is the strategy okay, whatever's born of God overcomes, but how does it overcome? What's the plan to overcome? Amen. What's God's strategy for us overcoming and for His Word overcoming and anything born from God's Word overcoming? How does God's Word overcome? How do I overcome? Okay, that's fine. Okay, you tell me I'm going to overcome, but how do I do that? What's the plan? I'm ready. What do I do? Are you catching this? What is the plan? The plan is my faith. Faith is God's plan to overcome. Woo, I love that. Hallelujah, somebody. So I was born to overcome, and faith is how I do it. It is my destiny to overcome. It is God's will for my life. But you know what? I might not fulfill my destiny. I might not find His will. I might not fulfill His will. What? Well, I may not. God wants everybody to go to heaven and all go to heaven. God wants you to win, but it doesn't mean you're going to win. You were born of God and you were born to win, but it doesn't mean you're going to win.
That's right.
If you use what He gave you to use, if you pick up the weapons He's given you and go out and fight, you'll win. But there are Christians, and I am one, and you are one, who are not always winning. How many of you join the club here and say, you know, I haven't always won either?
Amen.
I hadn't won in every situation. But, you know, I hadn't always believed in every situation either.
That's right.
I hadn't always worked the plan. The plan is that I believe. And my faith is what causes me to overcome.
Amen.
I have the right, okay? I have the right. I have the coupon, but I got to go redeem the coupon.
Amen.
I got to get in a car and go to the store and lay it on the counter and demand my rights. There it is. It is written on the coupon. Are you with me? But how many of you have coupons that go in the trash?
Yeah. Amen.
How many of you sell papers you never take advantage of? Oh, come on, every day we do that. We get sell papers all the time we don't take advantage of. We don't always need or want whatever it is they're selling, or you know, whatever the reason may be, may not have the money, whatever. But we don't go take advantage of it. We have the right, it's there. But you got to work the plan, see? And so I believe God has given us success, but we retain it, we connect with it. The plan or strategy for it is our faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's kind of the theme He's been going through from the very beginning of this chapter. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Man, that's how we got saved. That's not only how we got saved, that's how we're going to love each other. That's not only how we're going to love each other, that's how we're going to overcome the world. How do you overcome sin? How do you overcome opposition? How do you overcome the temptation of the world? How do you serve God? It's so hard to serve God. No, it's easy to serve God. The commandments of God are not burdensome. They're not grievous if you use your faith.
Amen.
Now, if you don't trust God, it won't work. It's very hard when you don't trust God. It's actually impossible when you don't trust God.
That's right.
If you don't think it won't work, it won't work. If you believe you will fail, you'll fail.
That's right.
If you don't think God will help you, He won't. He can't. If you think there's no way I can do this, you can't. You won't do it. You just won't do it. I cannot forgive that person. You make that statement, you believe that statement, you're not going to be able to forgive them.
Amen.
But if you'll use your faith,
yeah.
If you'll come back to the Word and say, you know what, I'm going to overcome this thing. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to overcome this thing. I believe I can love this person. I believe I can forgive this person. I believe I can be healed. I believe, whatever the case may be, I can rise above this financial depression I'm in, this financial obstacle that has come in my path. I believe I can overcome it. According to the Word of God, I'm going to stand on God's Word, and I'm going to let my vision and my confession and what I say and what I do be birthed out of God's Word, and whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this is the strategy and the plan and the victory that overcomes even my faith. And you got it because you're born again.
Yeah.
You already admitted that, see? It's too late, Ethel. You can't back out. You can't say, no, no, no. No, yes, yes, yes. You're already born again. You said you believe in Jesus. You're born again.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Osteen used to always say, you know, people ask about being baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues, you know, and he'd say, Well, do you have to speak in tongues, you know, if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost? He says, well, he says, just like a shoe, that you've got the shoe, the tongue comes with it. You know? So, if you know, do you have to overcome? Yeah, God wants you to overcome. It comes with being born again.
Amen.
Now, obviously, you can resist it, but I mean, come on, you know. Victory just comes with it. Why do we fight that so hard? We do, as Christians, we fight victory so hard. It's almost like we want to lose, we want to fail, we want to go under, we want to be a victim, and yet God has given us what we need to go over. His Word, His promises, the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus. Oh my goodness, come on. How can you lose with the stuff we use?
Amen.
You can only lose by default. You can only lose by lack of use. And I think that's the case. I think, well, a couple ways. You can lose if you don't know. And a lot of times we are ignorant of the fact that God really wants us to make it. Somehow in our mind, in some people's mind, they think that God just wants this person to fail and He wants that person to win and nothing you can do about it. It's just the way it is. It's, you know, it's destined that way. Predetermined. God already determined you're going to win, you're going to lose. Well, see, the Bible didn't teach that. That doesn't teach that at all. But if we think that we're in this box and there's nothing we can do and we're going through a hard time and God must be putting it through us, He may not want us to get out of it. You know, remember Job? Well, yeah, Job, it seemed like he got twice as much as he started with. If you read the last chapter of Job, you'll find out he won.
Amen.
Hello. But see, we start thinking that way, and we don't start using our faith. We don't start believing God. We just accept everything that comes along the pike or pipeline, or everything knocks on the door. We just let it in. Listen, you need to stop at the door, reject certain things that come in your life.
Yes.
Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you.
Amen.
Everything that happens is not God. Amen. And you can make a difference. You're born of God. Your faith can make a difference. I mean, it's just real basic faith 101. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know things go on in my life. It's easy sometimes to lay down. Are you with me? But the more you get in the Word, the more you pray and stand on God's Word, it gets easier to trust God if you make a lifestyle of that. Don't lay down. Amen. Fight and win. Fourth verse, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What's God's plan for success? Your faith.
Amen.
God has always planned it that way. He really wants to work in your life. He really wants to move in your life. He wants to get you back on your feet. He wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. He wants to bless you. But you know, His plan for doing that is your faith.
Amen.
And if you don't give Him your faith, He can't do that.
Amen.
It's not that He won't do it. He can't do it. He's the one that made the rules. Well, can't He just do it in my case? Well, if He did it in your case, He'd have to do it in everybody's case, wouldn't He? Then you wouldn't have free will. Nobody would have a choice. God just take over everybody's life and just, you know, just bless everybody without them wanting to be blessed, or make them serve Him without them wanting to serve Him, make them go to heaven kicking and screaming. Well, you know, you got free will. You can choose yes, you can choose no. But God's plan for you to choose yes so He can work with you, and your faith opens up the door for God to work in your life.
Amen.
Woo!
That's good.
My believing God releases His power to move in my life.
Thank you, Lord.
My believing God allows Him to cause me to win and go over, to overcome. My faith allows Him to change my inclination toward bitterness and hate and unforgiveness. If I will trust God and say, in the name of Jesus, I love them and I forgive them, His power comes in me to make that happen. And where I didn't feel forgiveness and I didn't feel love, all of a sudden the feeling will come, but it starts by faith. Love's not a feeling, it's a decision. And when I make the decision to stand on God's Word and do what He says, then He comes in there, He hooks up with me,
yes.
And then He changes those emotions and those feelings. But it's not emotion first. It's motion first, emotion second.
Amen.
Go through the motions, don't go through the emotions. Okay. Is this helping anybody?
Yes, sir.
You know what we're doing here? We're just taking our time and chewing on this and thinking about it and taking it apart word by word and putting it in context. Makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yes.
Comes alive. Sounds simple. But see, you can read through that and miss all that. And so there are times that we do read, but you need to stop and study too and chew on it. Okay. Fourth and fifth verse, we'll close this out. For whatever is born of God, and that's not just you, that's whatever is born of God, overcomes the world. I love that. Boy, when I get a plan from God, and I get a promise from God, and I get a confession I'm making on the basis of God's Word, it trumps hands down the world every time.
Come on.
When I find what God says, and I start believing what God says and saying what God says, and what I'm saying is born out of His Word, it overcomes the world.
Yep.
Because it's born of God. Woo! Y'all getting that? That's more powerful now. Y'all are shouting. I'm telling you, that's good stuff. Okay. What's there? Yeah. Woo! What's there is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And then He reiterates it because He doesn't want us to miss it. Hey, you ought to pay attention to the repetition in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Many times there's repetition. Many times Jesus repeats Himself even. Peter repeats Himself. John's repeating Himself here so we don't miss it. He's saying this over now. And He's asking us the question, did you get that? Who is He that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Don't miss the point. And just so you don't miss it, let me say it again. That's what He was saying. Let me ask you again. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, you know, that's me.
Yeah.
Isn't that you? I mean, how many times you get to thinking, man, you know, some special people overcoming the world, I wish I had that kind of faith, or I wish I was that kind of person. But no, we're missing the point here. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. So I'm supposed to be overcoming the world. What am I doing laying in the ditch?
That's right. That's exactly right.
What am I doing giving in to this?
Yes.
Going in the closet and turning the light out, unplugging all the phones.
Okay.
What am I doing all that for? What do you mean? Wait a minute.
Amen.
I'm supposed to be overcoming the world. And I can't overcome the world. If I use my faith, I'll start believing, start trusting God. What am I doing, whining, moaning, and crying? And we all get sucker punched, and we all moan and whine and cry. Now, don't start beating on somebody because they do, because we've all done it. But you know, at some point, you got to stop the moaning, stop the crying, stop the blubbering, and get up on your feet.
Amen.
And stand on God's Word, and pray, and seek His face, and repent for crying. Hello. Ask God to forgive you for being in unbelief. Are you with me? I've been there. Now, come on, we all done it. We've all hurt. So I'm not saying, you know, you're some wicked sinner. You're not a wicked sinner. That's the whole point. You're a Christian. You're a believer. That's what's so bad about it. Not that you're a wicked sinner crying and moaning, groaning, giving up. It's that you're a world overcomer giving up. Washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ with the promises of God in the name of Jesus and giving up. That's what's so bad about it. But, you know, in this world we do, we're not perfect. We're not supermen and women. We fall into that. But here's what we're saying and what God's saying. Get out of it. Catch yourself when you do that. Don't beat yourself over the head. Don't talk about how sorry, no good you are. And oh, come on, just stop it. I know it's not always as easy as with me, because if I get there, Brenda's going to my case. I mean, it's not going to work in our house. I start that, she'll say, you need to listen to some of your sermons. And so I can, you know, she'll start quoting scripture. You know that. Boy, that, and that when I'm like that, that now stay with me. That makes me so mad.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
No, really, she'll quote a scripture at me. Oh. And I'm going. No. Can't argue. Well, can you argue? She's right.
That's right. Amen.
You know she's right.
Yes.
You know the Bible says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." If I were to say anything negative, she'd say, in Jesus' name? Would you like to say that's going to happen in Jesus' name? Because you do everything in word or deed in Jesus' name. Make you think about it, you know. No, there's no mercy at my house, no. But I need this. And we all need it, amen. That's why I always say you can't have too many friends, but you can have too many close friends, because you couldn't handle too many close friends. Close friends will correct you, and you'll take it, okay? And a wife and a husband, you take it. You need to take it, you know. But you couldn't have everybody talking to you that way.
That's right.
You just couldn't handle that kind of pain, you know. You just. But everybody needs a close friend or two that will talk to them that way.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, there's times I need to be rebuked. I need to be corrected. I need to be, you know, get my confession straight and challenge my faith, and I'm not believing, I need to be believing. I'm whining and moaning and groaning, I ought to be believing and confessing and standing on the word.
Right.
Hello. And it may sound like legalistic or hard, but it's not. I mean, Jesus did the same thing. You know, Jesus didn't pat people on the back and say, you poor thing. You don't find him doing that. And we're talking life and death situations. He'd say things like, do you believe I'm able to do this?
Right.
What do you believe? Your faith hath made you whole. What is it that you want from me? And it's obvious what they wanted. But he wanted them to say it. There's a man at the Pool of Bethesda in John 5th chapter. It's the most amazing story. The Spirit of God, this is awesome how God made available healing. An angel would come down and trouble the water. And when the water was troubled, whoever stepped into the water was healed. Man, I think, man, that's just the mercy of God. It just. But here's this man over here. You know, he's by the pool. He can't get in. He's crippled. And he hadn't anybody put him in. And Jesus said something to him, and he says, I don't have anybody to put me in. You know, Jesus said the most amazing thing. He said, will you be made whole? What do you mean? Will you be made? He's down there by the pool making excuses. He's down there by the pool making excuses why he can't get healed. And Jesus said, well, it's not everybody else's fault. Will you be made whole? And finally, just Jesus said, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And the man, his faith hit him, and he rose up and took his bed. He finally did something. It wasn't about everybody else. Well, nobody gets behind me. Nobody helps me. Everybody's against me. God's not against you. Hello. Sometimes our worst enemy is us.
Amen.
Not God. And what we're saying and what we're believing. So, who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes.
Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
Well, you overcome the world.
Amen.
So quit your yeah and get out there and believe God. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't say that in a hard, cold way. I'm just saying that stand up, right? You know, stand up and believe God. Resist the devil. The Bible says in James 4:7, if you will submit yourselves therefore to God, you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You can make it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're born to make it. I heard this saying, and I've said it before, I think it was John Maxwell, one of his books. We are designed to succeed. We're programmed to fail. All we're doing when we're getting in the Word and finding out what God says and renewing our mind is we're reprogramming ourselves to find out what we're really designed to do. If we're born of God, we're designed to win, not to go under. Woo!